Welcome to the A Minute for My Amigo podcast, a How I Got That Way production.
Orthodox Christian churches are drawing in far right-wing American converts. Many of these converts have grown disillusioned with social and demographic changes right here in our fine country, Brandon. In the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, they have found a church that has remained the same, regardless of place, time, and politics. For many of them, Putin becomes this sort of like king-like figure in their narrative. So this is nuts, right? Because imagine some hardcore moral majority Republican in the 80s saying or doing anything complimentary of Russia. Yet now if you watch Fox News, they're routinely saying all sorts of great stuff about Putin. What is the big difference between conservative Christians now and them loving Russia and what they have to say versus in the 80s?
That's a good question. I think it's just a narrative shift. I think that the element of the GOP, the conservative right, has always been sort of based in fear, where they're afraid of the other, right? So xenophobic. They're afraid of immigrants. They're afraid of, you know, Muslims. They're afraid of anyone that's not just like them, looks just like their neighbor next door. God forbid their neighbor next door is black, right?
To this point, though, they were that way in the 80s as well. So what?
Yeah, well, I think social media has really made things change because people have access to this stuff. Like, nobody knew about the Russian Orthodox Church back in the 80s. It was just some random thing, and it usually existed in immigrant neighborhoods. What's begun to happen is people that are searching for to make sense of the world for in their view are searching online. And they're finding things like the Orthodox Church and people that get on YouTube and espouse the virtues of the Orthodox Church. I've known a couple of guys here in Asheville that have joined the Orthodox Church, and they fit the bill 100%. They don't like that the world is changing. Their wives are to be seen and not heard. They love the idea that men stand on one side, women stand on the other, that is predominantly white. I don't know if they would say that they want it to be to be totally white. I don't know if they would see themselves as racist. In fact, I know they wouldn't. But what they would say is that the world has changed. They don't like that it's changed, and you need to get back to these ancient traditions because that's when things were good. And that's why they go there.
Most of the evangelical hardcore Christian people that I know want the world to be like it was in the 80s. They want it to be exactly how it used to be, which I find ironic in that if you pay attention at all to the history of humankind or mankind, the world and the earth moves forward. God, by the way, it always is evolving throughout the history of time, yet hardcore evangelical Christians want things to remain the same and not evolve.
Well, it's funny. I heard this person at a party recently talking about a woman who was struggling and said, you know, I just wish that I could explain to her that she needs Jesus. And in those words. And I was kind of like, you know, I didn't disagree with her that her life, if she could have a healthy relationship with God and God through Christ, that she would sort of have a better life.
What?
But I was also, well, what I mean by that is that, but I could have easily said, you could become a really good Muslim and have a better life. You could become a Buddhist. If it's just about framing your life around a philosophy or a structure, it really doesn't matter what it is. As long as it says, hey, get up and do these certain things and you know, make your bed and do whatever. But it really struck me as odd to say, I just wish they knew Jesus. And I'm like, that is such an evangelical thing to say, as opposed to, I wish they could understand that God created the universe and that God loves them and cares for them. And even when it's really crappy, because a lot of Christians are like, hey, man, I know Jesus and my life still sucks. Right. So it's not this panacea.
It's when someone says that, it's such a countermeasure or like a smoke flare. Like someone said, like, oh, all that person needs is Jesus, as opposed to looking into the deeper meaning of someone's life and pain and work that you need to do to become a fuller human being. The easy Christian American answer is like, man, that person just needs Jesus. That means nothing.
Well, it's funny because I think this person who said it really means well and really believes what they said. It really sat with me. I've been thinking about it all week about why would, you know, this is a hurting woman who doesn't know anything about, anything and is a train wreck and probably needs some mental health therapy and needs, you know, just some structure in their life. So I guess I think that for a lot of evangelicals who grew up in, you know, white suburbia, it's like, yeah, Jesus is neat. It would be the same thing as like, you may remember when lots of young Christian women would be like, I'm in love with Jesus. Jesus is my lover. And you're like, no, you're not. What? You're in love with him like he's your boyfriend? It's like, it's so pedantic in the view of how to think about God and how much bigger God really is than that little simplistic view. But that made them feel good.
As you well know, as I've been documenting, I'm teaching Sunday school and we're going through Jesus's parables, and they are anything but black and white. They don't give you the answer. Jesus never gives anybody the answer. He's always saying, you got to dig and look and search for the answer. And so when Christians give you an answer, they're doing the exact opposite of what they're saying about Jesus.
Well, when they're giving you a pat answer that says, instead of saying, hey, the answer is going to be in your search. The answer is going to be in, I wouldn't have a problem with somebody saying, hey, listen, Jesus taught a lot of really, really important messages. And I believe that he's the Son of God. And I believe that he can transform your life, but it takes work. It's not a magical thing. It doesn't happen overnight. You can't pray the gay away, right? It is much, much more complex than I think what a lot of evangelical Christians think of it.
Yeah, this growing Orthodox Russian church with Putin telling you what to do, it's kind of like the same with going to some big low church Baptist congregation where you walk in and the pastor just tells you to vote for and how to think. Like, I don't know. I don't resonate with the idea of just going somewhere and having someone tell me exactly how to think and feel and live.
Yeah, well, I think that's the whole point of this, of orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is an established set of rules that people hang on to because they're like, hey, these are the correct rules. And whenever I hear like one of these Christian evangelicals saying they're going to an Orthodox church, and I would say to them, well, are you going to go back and start following the Mosaic law? You know, the 605 laws of Moses? Because that was orthodoxy.
Yeah.
No, that was orthodoxy in Jesus' time. None of them, they'd be like, what? That was Jesus' rule book. He obviously broke the rule book. It's okay to break the rule book. Orthodoxy is not always, I'm not saying that everything in the Orthodox church is bad. Some of it's beautiful. Some of it has deep in meaning. But if you're not thinking about it, same thing with the liturgy or anything else. If you're Catholic or Anglican or whatever, and you walk in and it's just up and down and left and right and sign of the cross, and you don't know why any of this stuff is taking place, or it has no real meaning to you, you're just saying the Pledge of Allegiance, man. It is totally absolutely worthless.
Remember that guy, I don't know if you remember this, but maybe 10 years ago, some guy wrote a book that he was going to live the Old Testament and literally do all of the things that the Bible, like, it was like, wear only linen clothes, women and their period had to live outside the house. Like, it was just this insane idea of living
work?
All of, you know, some of it did, you know, like, once again, the sacraments aren't all bad. They're supposed to remind us of what the spiritual things in life, and like wearing linen, like only linen clothes felt good on your body. And like some, not eating shellfish. Some of these things were like, you know what? There was a reason for them, but not all of them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think it goes back to what you said about wanting things in black and white and wanting someone to just tell me, you know, as I told you, my friend is like, man, I just want everything to be black and white. I'm like, well, most of it's gray, man. Most of it's gray, and it's really hard to figure out. And I think that's what the Orthodox movement wants to do. They want a Putin. They want a daddy figure that can tell them, go do this, go do your chores, go clean up. I mean, it doesn't matter how evil they are, because Putin is evil. It doesn't matter because he gives them a framework within which they live their lives so they don't have to think.
If as you get older, you in your, the ethos of who you are is that the world is more certain, you are insane. As I get older, I realize being on Earth is all about being uncertain. We don't know anything. We can't, there are no black, there's just not.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more on that. I mean, it's like, I was thinking about, like, as I've gotten older, how my life has changed, you know, and how it changes every day, and how I'm still figuring stuff out. In fact, I'm probably less sure now than I was 20 years ago, you know?
Completely. All right, Brandon, thank you for teaching me.